listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. You are in tune with WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.
Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit proudly presents Pawcella 2025, June 7th and 8th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pawcella is a two-day festival celebrating the joy of animals, community, and second chances. Located at the Mary Ann Wright Animal Adoption and Education Center, located at 16121 Reckinger Road in Dearborn, Michigan, this event features face painting, a cornhole tournament, yoga in the dog park, raffles, dog exhibitions featuring dock diving and agility courses, live music by eight local bands, and much more. For tickets and more information about Pawcella 2025 on June 7th and 8th, please visit MetroDetroitAnimals.org. That's MetroDetroitAnimals.org.
Welcome to this edition of the WHFR Journal. It is our first month of June edition on this Friday, June 6th. And June is my favorite month, my birthday month. And I'm a June child and a moon child and all those fun things. It's also, you know, just the best for weather and people being out of school and having fun and getting out again and reconnecting and meeting and greeting with colleagues and friends and so on. And boy, do we have an opportunity to talk about, to do literally just that. Our first guest today, and by the way, we have an action-packed journal show. Thank you for listening to the two previous journals where we had some fantastic programming from Public Radio Exchange, and we're going to jump right in. Kelly Vandenbosch is joining me. She is the president of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. As we know, the organization is into its, I think, 81st year of the chamber, and so that means they've been doing this a while, and they know what they're doing. And one of the things that they do so very well is the opportunity to connect through food and through local business for an event called the Taste of Dearborn. This event returns Wednesday, June 18th, and we'd like to learn a little bit more about it. Kelly, welcome to the journal and really happy June.
Yes. Oh my gosh, June is the best. It is. So happy pre-birthday.
Oh, thank you. I don't
know where you land in June for your birthday, but happy pre-birthday. And you're absolutely right. It is. I'm sure everyone's noticed that when you wake up in the morning, the birds are chirping right now. You know, they're chirping at 4 a.m., which is a little early for me, but that's okay. That's okay. But yeah, we are in our 81st year here at the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce, and we are launching our Taste of Dearborn event on June the 18th. And we are just all things Taste of Dearborn right now. So we have a lot of great things planned for the event. We have 41 restaurants that are participating as of today. And I do expect more to kind of come along as the date moves a little bit closer, until we have to say, I'm sorry, no, you cannot be part of this, because the menus are going to be printed. But we are super excited about it. We weren't able to host it last year because of some of the turnaround here at the chamber. So I'm feeling very, very good that we can have the event again this year.
And tell us a little bit, for those that have not participated in any of these sort of food crawls, if you will,
yes,
exactly how this process works, and like who attends things like this? Who yes, are you gearing this towards as an audience?
So those are great questions. So this restaurant crawl is super simple. So we have, it's going to be taking place primarily in West Downtown Dearborn, and you can walk to the restaurants. We also have shuttle service. The shuttle service will pick you up at different locations. There's seven different locations that they'll pick you up and take you to the next location. We are also over at the Fairlane Mall around the perimeter, and we're going to be at the canteen at Midtown. And the canteen at Midtown is basically a food truck place and also vendors inside for food. And they have 11 of their restaurants that are going to be participating in this too. So you can walk up and down Michigan Avenue. You can hop on shuttles. You can drive yourself. There's plenty of parking in Dearborn. So that is basically what the event is. It's a tasting of these restaurants. You can go to restaurants that you're like, oh my goodness, I would love to try, like Turkish Village is one of the newer restaurants that are going to be part of this. I really have been wanting to try Turkish Village. You can go try the food and then maybe go back in a few weeks for like a full dinner. But you will not leave hungry. There are tons of different food items available. You know, for Dearborn, we have so many delicious eateries, so many delicious restaurants. We are the coffee capital of the world. forget Seattle. It's Dearborn. So we have a lot of delicious coffee, coffee businesses that are going to be part of the event. We're thrilled. Really, it's open to anybody that wants to come to Dearborn for an afternoon. The event is from 6 until 9. We do open registration at 5:30. So the clientele would be anyone that wants to come to Dearborn and try the food. I have people that have registered coming in from Ohio for a she's retiring from her job, and she's bringing a bunch of friends with her, and they're coming to Dearborn for the restaurant crawl. We have people up downriver that are coming to this. We have people up in, at Novi, Northville that are coming, and a whole bunch of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights people. So you can be from anywhere.
The opportunity to connect with so many in such little time, I think, is to me the key for an event like this. I drive in and out of Dearborn, up and down the streets of, you know, up Michigan Avenue and right there on Evergreen, right across from the, you know, the new food truck location, everything. And I always say to myself, oh, one of these days, well, I'm going to go there. And then, you know, life gets in the way and you just kind of don't. So this almost is the best of both worlds to be able to not only learn about the new places, but you're not literally just taking a risk and saying, I'm going to have my meal here tonight. And then maybe you do, maybe you don't, you know, love it, love the menu, et cetera. You literally get just a little tease for each of these places. And then you kind of put that list together and say, oh, this is an absolute must, or this is an absolute recommend to my sister, et cetera, et cetera.
That's
a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And tickets are only $35 per person for the general admission. And we are doing a special. It's buy one, get one. So you can buy two for the price of one. So instead of 70, you're spending, you know, 35 for two tickets. And you would go to the chamber website, which is DearbornAreaChamber.org. And you would put in the code BOGO. Buy one, get one. and you'll be able to get that. That does count, which I think is fantastic. Again, you're right. You can try any of those foods. And like, who's going to go to the canteen at Midtown and eat from all 11 restaurants in one night, right? Yeah, you're going to want to like...
is that a challenge? Are you challenging me? I might pick you up on that.
We should do that. You and I try to go there and eat from all 11 restaurants. Really, this is your time just to try them out and then decide to go back. We hope you decide to go back. Yeah.
Yeah. And this event, again, taking place on a weeknight, I think is an interesting choice, but probably one that is, as I know it has in the past, really going to benefit those that are just so getting, I don't know about you, I'm so booked on the weekends now, the start of graduation parties and the start of, you know, anniversary celebrations and so on. Everybody wants to do things outside. So weekends are, they're so tough. So I love the fact that this is just right in the middle of the week and just a special thing to kind of pop up and say, oh, guess what I get to do tonight?
It is. I know that Wednesdays are typically slow for restaurants. So that's why we kind of geared towards that day because they are very busy and it would be hard to bring people into their restaurant trying samples. So we wanted it to be good for them. And also, you know, for this year, a lot of the schools will be out already. I know Dearborn Public Schools are out today. This is their last day, June 6th. But there's also that going on. So, you know, there's schools out. And also the day after is Juneteenth. So a lot of businesses are out. So guess what? You can stay up late and have fun on the 18th and then stay home on the 19th for that national holiday.
Well, you've just got this all worked out, don't you? That's why you're the president of the chamber.
There we go.
Yeah, we love that. Well, thank you, Kelly. This sounds fantastic. June 18th, 6 to 9. And again, for ticket information, it's that you mentioned DearbornAreaChamber.org and that incredible BOGO offer right now. Buy one, get one. So two tickets for the price of one. That is the best deal in town, I'll tell you. How many people can you accommodate at this?
So we really can, sky's the limit. I do need to give my restaurants a kind of a number so they have enough food available, but really sky's the limit. So we're not going to shut down ticket sales. I would be remiss if I did not mention also that we have a VIP event too. The VIP event begins 1 hour earlier than general admission. So it starts at 5 and it lasts until 7:30. It's at the Les Stanford Cadillac Showroom. So you're in the Cadillac Showroom. Robusto's Cigar Bar and Bistro will be tending the bar for us. Included in your ticket price is beer, wine, and old fashions. And mocktails too. They have mocktail old fashions too, and food from Lapita. And we also have Henry Ford College's big band that's going to be there. And that event, so only you're able to go to that if you're a VIP. Again, from 5 to 7:30. Those tickets are $50, but are also on the buy one get one right now.
Great.
Yeah.
This experience sounds like, again, you can probably overindulge if you literally eat everything from every place, which is very appealing to a lot of people. But at the same time, you are, I'm sure, just noting that some people might kind of pick and choose and yes. Just have a little something from what they like and don't like. And I suspect those that are concerned about, again, being in big crowds or having to drive themselves. And, you kind of already mentioned some of the way that this is set up. But would you just maybe, as we kind of get ready to wrap our discussion, just sort of re-share how the literal function of this works for people that might be thinking, this sounds great, but it might just be a little too much for me.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. So new this year, we are having registration at a different location. Instead of here at the library, which it's been in the past, we are having it at the West Downtown Dearborn Peace Park. So everything is outside at the Peace Park. We also have, and that's where registration will be taking place. And there's also like a village, like a common area. There's a plaza right there. So there's a lot of space right there for a lot of people. There's food trucks there that are part of Taste of Dearborn, and we'll have some live entertainment there too. But once you get through registration, you really can pick and choose where you want to go. You can look at the menu and go, okay, let's plan. What's our plan of attack? Where are we going to go? Or you can kind of wait for those shuttles to come along. I wouldn't say to have the people not have you attend. I would love to see everybody coming because I really do believe that it will be a very comfortable, fun evening for everybody. I really, really do. And I think that if you haven't done it, well, if you have done it, we have a lot of returns. But if you haven't done it, this could be the year to do it because there's a lot going on, a lot of new stuff. A lot of new restaurants. Love to have you guys.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And this community is only as good as those that that participate in it actively, mm-hmm. not only as homeowners and, people that live and work here, but also, those businesses that invest in this community. And this is a chance really for Dearborn to sort of invest back in them, isn't it? And I suppose
Absolutely. As
head of the chamber, that's sort of yes. always your number one mission.
Absolutely. And I'm so excited to get these 41 restaurants, new customers. Like that's so exciting to me. And speaking of like businesses in Dearborn, DFCU Financial, they actually have like a list of 122 of their employees that are coming to this event. So that's a lot of fun that they got themselves together and they got a group of people and they're excited to go out and be part of, the fun. And really when you're down there and there's all these people walking and you're part of that fun, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a wonderful way to kick off the season, Kelly, and we're grateful to have it back this year. Again, Wednesday, June 18th, 6 to 9 officially, and we're going to celebrate the best of food, coffee, cocktails, mocktails, etc. here okay. in downtown West Dearborn. Love it. It's going to be a success, I'm sure, as pretty much everything is that you connect with and that you coordinate. So we're super happy about that. And, 81 years, how's that treating you right now as head of the chamber?
Yeah, it's actually, this year has been so much fun. We were able to bring back the events that we weren't able to have last year. So it's been a lot of fun. We're got really good, you know, community relations. I mean, in fact, the city of Dearborn, their Dearborn Restaurant Week is one of my sponsors for Taste of Dearborn. They're my plaza sponsor, you know, been out and about in Dearborn Heights. So it's been a really good year. So far, we're only halfway through. We're halfway through. I can only expect the rest to be just as good.
Well, we're looking forward to continuing to stay in touch on events such as Taste of Dearborn. And we're excited to, you know, be a part of spreading the word. So thank you for your time and your passion for this community. And this is not just open again to residents in Dearborn. This is open to anyone. So those of you listening outside of our Dearborn community in this listening area, this is, you know, this has got your name on it as well. So keep that in mind. And for more information, again, the Chamber of Commerce website is where we want to go. And will you give us that one more time, Kelly?
DearbornAreaChamber.org. Or you can give me a call, 313-584-6100. And you will get me to answer the phone and we can take care of tickets over the phone.
Sounds great. Thank you. Continued success. Looking forward to a wonderful summer together with our friends at the Dearborn Area Chamber. And we'll let you get going and keep putting the finishing touches on all this. Have a great day.
Thank you, Susan. You too.
Stay with us. More on the way. We're going to keep the discussions going on opportunities to connect here in this community. In most every case, for the sake of helping others, benefiting others, and being a part of something bigger as we try to promote here on WHFR Dearborn as we are making waves. Stay with us.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet. Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Thanks for staying with us on the WHFR Journal this Friday, June the 6th. We have two more discussions today, so it's an action-packed day. In just a little bit, we're going to talk with Nova Zorak, and she represents Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit. They are having their huge and most exciting Pawcella event. Yes, like Coachella, but for dogs. Super sweet. And we're going to just talk a little bit more about that. We had an extensive discussion, you might recall, a few weeks back, but it's literally taking place this weekend. And so we wanted to give you some updates on some added features going on and so on. So an opportunity to have some fun with those four-legged furry friends and also make a difference in the lives of other animals that we may want to bring into our home literally even this weekend. So we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But next, so very excited to welcome for the first time to the WHFR Journal is Alex Newton. Alex is the development director for the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan. Now, if you've been a longtime listener to the journal, you know that the Epilepsy Foundation is regularly featured on this particular show and in our materials for public service and so on. And that's not just because I have a personal connection, but it's mostly because one in 26 people will develop epilepsy in their lifetime. One in 10 people will have a seizure at some point in their lives. And over 100,000 people, closer to 110,000 by the last statistic, are living with epilepsy right here in Michigan. This is a widely impactful situation, and it is something that is really affecting just about any and every person that I have ever talked with, whether personally, professionally, or they know somebody that in some way is dealing with some form of epilepsy. So we think it's important, and we want to make sure that we continue to keep this information and updates and ways to learn more, ways to participate with finding a cure for epilepsy on your radar. So thank you for indulging me the opportunity to do so again. Alex Newton, welcome to the WHFR Journal for the first time. Yay, glad to have you here.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so grateful for the opportunity to share with the community a little bit more about what we do and then also our exciting events coming up this summer.
We have a history of working with the foundation personally, and again, people that have listened for a while know my story. We lost my beautiful, wonderful nephew, Dominic, almost 10 years ago. It's 10 years this week that Dominic became a doctor. He fought epilepsy for years, worked his way through medical school, became, you know, got that white coat. Remember being at the white coat ceremony, and wow, just so very proud of him. But boy, it was a challenge beyond anything I ever thought he could do. But with support from the Epilepsy Foundation and just great encouragement, he was able to achieve that dream of his and that dream of ours for him. Sadly, not too long after that, we lost Dominic to something called SUDEP, which, as I'm sure you can explain more, is that sudden unexplained death from epilepsy. And so we live for his legacy, and we continue to support this foundation for every single person that is in any way going through what we experience through our beloved Dominic. And it has proven to have been so expansive and so wide reaching. And we've met people that we never would have had the opportunity to meet and connect with and hopefully support and help, because this is kind of everywhere, isn't it?
It is. So like you mentioned, a lot of folks are surprised to learn that 1 in 26 individuals in the United States will be diagnosed with epilepsy. And even more prominent, 1 in 10 will have a seizure at some point in their lives. So whether you know somebody in your life right now or you will know somebody in your future, you know, this diagnosis is affecting so many individuals. And so, you know, as the foundation, the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan, we serve those individuals. We serve the nearly 109,000 people in Michigan who are living with active epilepsy, along with their parents, their caregivers, their teachers, just concerned community members. We're here to serve them in whatever way they need, so we can help make sure that their lives are as easy as can be and that they can thrive, just like Dr. Dominic did by getting his medical degree.
We are excited to continue to share when new opportunities to participate come our way, right, through the foundation and in our local communities. And you are just so active and so busy. And as development director, I can only imagine what a day in the life, right, of Alex looks like.
But
it seems like while other people are sort of slowing down for the summer season, right, getting out of school and kind of chilling, and we just talked in a previous interview about a fun, like a food crawl going on here in the city of Dearborn.
Oh, fun.
So yeah, ways to kind of chill and stuff. It seems like you guys are just kind of ramping up again. So what do you want on our radar, and how can we get involved?
You're absolutely correct. So we don't slow down in the summer. We have some really exciting events happening all across the state. So while we are headquartered in the Metro Detroit area, we serve the whole state of Michigan. And one of our most exciting ways that we do that in the summer is through our Stroll for Epilepsy, which takes place at 4 locations across the state. And our next one actually happens to be just over a week away in Metro Detroit at the Detroit Zoo. So this will be our 33rd year gathering in the Metro Detroit area for the Stroll for Epilepsy. And basically what the stroll is an inspirational fundraising walk, and we unite the community in the fight against the challenges of epilepsy while also raising funds to support the programs and services provided by the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan. So we gather to honor the epilepsy warriors in our lives, remember those who were lost too soon, and then also celebrate the unity, the hope, and the resilience that we often see through the folks who are living with epilepsy. So in just over a week, we will be gathering with about 2,000 individuals at the Detroit Zoo. Check-in opens at 7:30, so bright and early. And we will welcome you with free zoo admission for a day, well, more like a morning, of fun activities. We're going to have a DJ. We're going to have some vendors. Our health system partners will be there. Prizes, raffle, ways to get involved, and ways to engage other folks in your lives to support those who are living with epilepsy. We'd love to share more, and we hope you can join us.
It is a staple in my family's, you know, summer season, and really something that I personally encourage everybody to learn more about. You can be there physically in person. You can be a virtual walker, right?
So absolutely.
I remember even during COVID, we did the literally virtual walk, right? It was,
yes,
it was an online kind of a thing, but boy, people still came out and supported this event. And you get as much time as you want at the zoo afterwards as well, which is kind of a fun thing. Put it all together. And how do we get involved in that specifically? What should someone do if they want to participate, or even if they just want to learn more about events like this and maybe offer some support in a financial way?
The best place that I can recommend starting is heading to our website, epilepsymichigan.org. It's a really fantastic one-stop shop with information about the services we provide, which include individualized advocacy, our educational conferences, free seizure first aid training, community building events, public policy efforts, and more. And we're also going to have information there about our upcoming events. So through there, you can register to attend the event. You can join a team if you already have a team that you know that is coming. You can make a donation to the event if you can't join, or you can learn how to volunteer. So many different ways to get involved, and that website is going to be a great one-stop shop. If you'd like to give us a call and talk to one of our team members, you know, over the phone, at 800-377-6226, you can connect with one of our team members, and we can help you get registered over the phone, answer any questions you might have, whether it relates to our events, a recent diagnosis, or, you know, possible support services that you need for your own self or your family or your friends.
Alex Newton is joining us, the development director for the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan. And Alex, we were talking offline. I have had, as a college teacher, I've had more than one student in my time present epilepsy as something that they were discovering that they had, or even seizures in general in a classroom environment, or just through the time being a student of mine. And the opportunity to recommend the Epilepsy Foundation has been invaluable, I'll tell you again. So on the instructor side, or you know, dealing with a lot of people regularly, knowing things to look for, knowing there are support systems in place is super, super important. And one of those dear and beloved students will be having a team again at the walk this year. So it's super wonderful. But I remember one of the comments that this young man's mom made to me when we were able to kind of connect their family with the foundation was, I thought I was alone. I didn't talk to anybody because it was scary, and I didn't want to red flag what we're dealing with, because maybe we should keep the secret and so on and so forth. And the minute that connection was made and the family realized what available services were involved with the foundation, it was like a light bulb turned on, literally changed their lives. And I know you and your teammates do that every single day. So what experience is that like? And I'm sure that is not a solo story.
It's not, but thank you so much for sharing that, because that's such an important conversation to have. You know, an epilepsy diagnosis or any complicated health diagnosis can feel it so incredibly isolating, especially when there's still a stigma surrounding it. So we know that we're working to bust that stigma, and so many folks are on board and willing to do the same. We know that epilepsy, you know, while it can be scary, we don't have to be scared of the person themselves, right? And if somebody has a seizure, it's actually better if we stay calm and collected and know what to do. So that is, again, part of our, you know, community efforts, is breaking that stigma, helping folks know they're not alone, and then also educating individuals, whether it be, you know, caregivers themselves or community members, so that if they see somebody have a seizure, you know, instead of that first initial fear feeling, they can jump into action. That can possibly save a life. So we want to provide that training. We want folks to feel empowered, and we want individuals living with an epilepsy diagnosis to feel loved, cared for, and like their diagnosis does not define them.
The foundation, as I am reading on your website at epilepsymichigan.org, and as you have mentioned a couple of times, talks through so many different areas and facets of epilepsy in general, not only learning about it, but managing it, diagnosing it, treating it, connecting with the health professionals, and also providing that support system that we just discussed, that you are not alone. And there are groups to talk to that are facing similar challenges. There are way too many to go into today, but in terms of what you've seen in your, I understand, a few years now with the foundation, and congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What a wonderful avocation as well as vocation. But what are some of the hot button topics right now, or the hot points that you're seeing more on the radar that we want to share with our listeners?
Absolutely. I think that one of the major public policy efforts we're currently working towards is what we're referring to as our Seizure Safe Schools Act. And there's ways to get involved if you're interested in kind of, you know, writing to our representatives and being a part of that movement. But it is actually, believe it or not, not currently a requirement in all 50 states for teachers and educational providers to have seizure first aid training. And so what our proposed, you know, law is going to do is make sure that educators have access to those trainings every year. So we're working to get that passed. We'd love to have your voice in encouraging that to get passed. We're also doing some work with driving laws, which is another public policy. We're continually providing community-wide free seizure first aid trainings, both in person and virtually. You don't have to have a huge group to participate. You can do that online on your computer, or if you have a workplace or, you know, a community group that is interested in all getting trained as a group, we can absolutely support that. We're trying to, as many folks as we can who can know how to respond to a seizure, the better. And then additionally, you know, the individual support we can provide can be very much so a case-by-case basis. So if you have specific questions, you know, about you or your child, everything from, you know, discrimination in the workplace to, you know, an IEP in the educational setting to finding an epileptologist or other specialist to support, we can help with. And then, of course, our community building through our, you know, support groups, our call and connect groups, our self-management groups. There's so many ways for individuals to get involved, whether they themselves are living with epilepsy or they're just a community member who wants to make a difference.
Sounds like if we're looking for anything, you're going to either have the support or know somebody that does. So
absolutely.
Referencing that epilepsymichigan.org. Typically every November we talk about Epilepsy Awareness Month because that is a thing, and wearing purple, yes, the color for epilepsies, which is half of my wardrobe, I think, is purple, as many that are,
too,
you know, yeah, connected with, you should see my sister, Laura. She doesn't go out of the house unless she's wearing something purple. It's fantastic. But when we talk about sort of those deeper components of advocacy for those that are living with epilepsy, managing epilepsy, you talked a little bit about legislation, possible legislation, and so on. And I understand, I haven't been involved with them personally and directly, but you often have the different sessions and seminars and things going on, as well as a camp that we will talk about, you know, another time. But in terms of something I think that's just coming up, like literally right around the corner, what are we
yes.
going on with that?
So this is so timely. Tomorrow, our Epilepsy Innovation Conference launches. And this is an incredible opportunity because it is free and virtual. So it is accessible to everyone. It's going to be dropping on our YouTube page. And of course, we'll be sharing it on all of our social media networks as well. But this is a conference that was filmed with individuals, health system providers, mental health caregivers, experts in the field. And it is really about the emerging research on epilepsy and different things that are really relevant right now, things that are starting to develop more, treatment options, support, everything in between. And so that is actually dropping tomorrow, June 7th, on our YouTube page, the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan YouTube page. And it is our Epilepsy Innovation Conference. I invite everyone to drop in, have a view. You don't have to watch it tomorrow. The great thing is, because it's on our YouTube page, you can bop back in a couple of days. You can share it with others. The information is going to be there and it's going to be accessible. It's a great way to learn if you want to dip your toes in and start right away.
So it's not something we have to necessarily register for to have access after the fact, correct?
Correct. Yep, you got it.
Well, we know how busy you are, particularly these weeks as we're leading up to the Detroit Stroll and the roundtable tomorrow and so on. There really are more opportunities connected to this wonderful foundation than we can go into in one session. But we try to break it up into chunks so we don't overwhelm people, but also to keep this on the radar. You literally have changed our lives, and I know you know, vast numbers more, and we may not get the outcome that we hope for when it comes to managing epilepsy, but we know that we're doing everything we can when we're connected with this type of information and with the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan. So, Alex, one more time, the details on the summer stroll, and then we'll let you get back to work.
Absolutely. So on Saturday, June 14th at the Detroit Zoo, check-in is going to open at 7:30 and pre-registration is available until next Wednesday, June 11th. For more information or to get registered, please go to our website, epilepsymichigan.org. And to anyone who is listening who is affected by epilepsy in one way or another, just know that the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan is here for you, and we will continue to be here for you throughout your journey.
Thank you, Alex Newton, Development Director for the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan. Give our best to your whole team, will you? And we look forward to seeing
Absolutely.
You next week.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
We do have more on the way. Stay with us. This is the WHFR Journal on this Friday, June the 6th, as we are talking through opportunities to connect and to do something, you know, just a little bit beyond maybe your comfort zone, a little beyond your circle of life. Just kind of step out of that just a little bit if you can, and know that even though people maybe put on a brave face, you just don't know what somebody's going through behind the scenes. So we want to keep this stuff on our radar. And that's what we do here at WHFR. So stick with us. More to come.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy
band. It's painful concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
As we round out this very action-packed WHFR Journal for this Friday, June the 6th, we would be absolutely remiss if we did not remind you in a more formal way, aside from, of course, all the messaging we've been doing for a couple of weeks about this super cool event called Pawcella here for Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit. And we love, love, love this organization. We know you do too. And we want to get you the front row opportunity to connect directly with your sweet furry friends and be a part of something that is going to be super cool, kind of a kickoff for the summer season as well. So Nova Zorak is joining me on the line at this time. She is the Events and Communications Manager at Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit right here in Dearborn. And Nova, I feel like we've been chatting a lot back and forth, you know, via the text email stuff, but it's such a wonderful opportunity to connect with you in this regard, actually get to talk to you like for real. And you have just what sounds like is going to be the super cool event of the season. Remind our listeners, please, about why they should participate in Pawcella 2025.
Well, we're very excited about this year in particular. It's our second annual. We're getting a lot of coverage thanks to you and other media locally. So I think even our vendors, some of our partner vendors, have been spreading the word on their socials and at other festivals and around town and their communities. So the turnout is already promising to be really good. I think the weather is going to be nice, which is excellent. That can always present challenges in the past. Too hot, too rainy, too this, too that. Mm-hmm. But I think we're really well-rounded this year. I mean, there is literally something for everyone, whether it's human or canine, a child, an adult. We have 8 bands spread throughout 2 days. We've got food vendors. Physically, the festival is bigger this year as well. We're expanding into the Centennial Library parking lot, the entire dog park, all up and down Reckinger in front of our newly finished adoption and education center. So that'll be open to the public with all of our animals, tours of the new facility. We'll have an adopt-a-thon where we host other rescues such as Michigan Anti-Cruelty, Rebel Dogs, and Michigan Humane is bringing kittens. I know. So we have like 42 different vendors up and down Reckinger, which is, I think, double what we had last year. We're going to have tarot and face painting and magic. We have a cornhole tournament on Saturday only. My friend is coming Saturday with her business Transition Elements, and she's doing dog Reiki.
Oh, wow.
So there's just so much going on. So we're excited. Yeah, it's all coming together.
Sounds super cool. And this is only the weekend. This isn't something that happens like Thank goodness. I'm sure you're thinking every weekend, right? Yeah. This is one weekend out of the year, right? So June 7th and 8th, 9 to 3, right here in Dearborn, like literally a stone's throw from the college. And literally, you know, if you know where the Ford Performing Community Performing Arts Center is, you know, it's in that whole area. But more, I think, than anything is the awareness that an event like Pacella 2025 creates for the Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit and the Marianne Wright Animal Adoption and Education Center. Again, as you mentioned, an opportunity to actually see it, maybe for the first time ever, since things are kind of finally, that bow is kind of tied on, you know, the building. And this is, you know, supposed to be sort of a festival of love. And I love the sort of the peace, love, and groovy kind of thing you got going this year. It's super fun. But it's not, you know, it's not just let's go and talk about pets. It's literally a summer festival, which we want to make sure that we reiterate to people. As you mentioned, so many bands, and you know, at WHFR, we're all about the local music, and we love the local bands that will be playing, local businesses participating, and all for this amazing cause. I understand that there's like a little nominal fee to kind of get in or sort of participate, and proceeds are benefiting the Friends for Animals, right?
Correct. Yeah. That's going to be for one day, basic entry, $5. So just Saturday, $5. Just Sunday, $5. If you want to do the whole weekend, it's $10, and you get a pet waste dispenser case, which is branded. You know, we have a official merch, which will be for sale in our vendor row. But each admission tier comes with some of our official merch as well. So again, the basic entry to just get in is $5 per day. And then it goes up from there to get the official t-shirt. And you mentioned we have this kind of more psychedelic piece, 60s motif on the shirt this year. That one is $30 with both days of admittance. Of course, once you're in the festival, there are various things you can buy into, whether it's participating in the lure course with your dog or the tarot, or, you know, obviously you have to buy into those things. But the music is free to just get in and watch the dog exhibitions like dock diving and fly ball or with professionals. And you can watch our pack walk Saturday morning at 9 a.m. is also free, or if you pay the $5, then you can get into the festival after the pack walk is finished. And we basically just line up kind of by the library and walk the whole grounds. And so far we have, I think we're up to like 40 or 60 participants and like 30 animals just with the public. And we're going to have some of our fosters in that too. So that's pretty exciting. We really want to push kind of awareness about the pack walk at 9 a.m. on Saturday, June 7th. So, and we just dropped the fee for the yoga. We're doing yoga in the dog park to kick off Sunday, June 8th. So it is now free. And then if you want to participate in the festival afterwards at 10 a.m., you just get the $5 and stick around and grab a drink at the bar or whatever, you know, detox, retox.
love it. And as you mentioned, it's not, well, the pack walk, the invitation is for the pets, you know, for your friends as well. But really the whole festival is open for you to bring your, probably just dogs, I'm guessing, right?
But yeah. I suppose if you had one of those cats on the harness, I always wanted to do that, but I didn't get there with my cat. But yeah, dogs is what is going to be primarily seen when you bring your own animal. And then, of course, we'll have our adoptables and the other shelters' adoptables if you'd like to look into getting an animal. So, so it's really exciting.
I love it. I want to just go over the band list just quickly again. That's what we're about here at WHFR, is our local support and so on. And I'm on your website, which is fantastically detailed in a great way, very colorful, metrodetroitanimals.org, and then just go to events and you'll find Pacella 2025. But in terms of bands, let's see, for June 7th, Sunglasses After Dark, Hot Rod Deluxe, Urban Muse Band, Martinez, and then on the Second day on June 8th, we have Warp Factor 5, the Rockin' Boomers, Conquest, and then a band I've been hearing a little bit about lately called the Creepos.
No.
Tell us a little bit about that one, Nova. What's going on with the Creepos?
Well, that's my band. So I sing in that band. Actually, we're all tied to Dearborn, even though we're all in Hamtramck now. But, you know, I believe all three of my bandmates went to, I believe, Dearborn High, and some of them went to Henry Ford. And, you know, we've been together a little over a decade now. So we did a lot of stuff like the Hamtramck Labor Day Festival, the Hamtramck Music Festival, every bar you can imagine in Detroit and Hamtramck, almost. And kind of had a hiatus over COVID and started working on an album. And now we're back. We started playing some shows back in December at Bolero and decided to do Pachella. So I'll be very busy, but, you know, here we go.
We can't imagine, to be honest with you. It's incredible. Yeah. If you can't attend the event, and again, I know weekends are booking up pretty fast here this summer season, but we've been talking about this for a while, so no excuse. But if you absolutely can't make it for whatever reason, I know that there are ways to do like sort of outside fundraising for the event. And then also, I'm sure just donations and support is welcome year-round for this wonderful organization.
This is all a general operations fund. Helps the animals, the shelter, our crew, just everything that we need to operate. We do have an option. We're getting kind of close now, but, you know, leading up to this festival annually, we do peer-to-peer fundraising as an option to earn your entry. So, you know, if you make over $5, you're getting in, right? Because that's the first tier of entry. And with each denomination, you get the swag associated with it, whether it's the tote bag at 20, the t-shirt at 30, or the bundle of everything for 50 and admission to both days. So you can do that individually or with a team. And you can still contribute to the existing individuals and teams for our fundraising efforts now via our website at metrodetroitanimals.org at the Pachella 2025 landing page. So if you wanted to start your own, I know there's only a few days to get there now, but you could contribute to a friend, family, staff member in any of our pre-existing individual or team fundraisers and help them reach their goals, which in turn help us reach our goal. And we're about halfway there. We had a $100,000 fundraising goal for this year's festival, and we're about halfway there. So we really need the community's help to make the other half up this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. This 2-day festival, again, is primarily designed to help make sure that people know what they're doing in terms of pet adoption, in terms of pet ownership, in terms of pet research, and so on. One of the things that I've enjoyed most about Friends for Animals Metro Detroit is the knowledge base, with Corey as president, Elaine as being a staple in the community with the former Dearborn Animal Shelter name, and so on. And oh, yeah. Boy, you all just know what you're talking about. So if someone is thinking, I always wanted a dog, or I always wanted this particular pet, you're going to kind of help them process that to kind of see if in fact it is the right choice and what pets are out and available. And to me, there is nothing like that love connection. We always say that it's, you don't pick your pet picks you, right? Walking through that amazing shelter. But that knowledge base is available not only this weekend, and I know the experts are going to be on hand, but pretty much throughout the entire time. So tell us a little bit about what that must feel like to kind of be connected to all these power people.
There's two facets. I mean, as far as adoption counseling here, anytime that we're open to the public, much less even just with the Pachella Festival, we do offer adoption counselors. We'll have them on site this weekend, as well as anytime we're open normally, which is right now Wednesday through Sunday, typically noon to four, to help pair you with the match. You know, we spend a lot of time with these animals. So when you fill out your application, we do offer an opportunity to schedule a meet and greet if you have other animals or if you want to have an appointment in advance. We do also encourage walk-ins. Just come on in when we're open. And we try to pair you up with what you're looking for, whether, again, you have kids, other animals in the home, what kind of animals they are, what kind of lifestyle you have, what you're looking for, and try to match that as best as we can. But also working with the powerhouses, I know you mentioned Elaine Green. I mean, she's a huge mentor to me. She's become a big fan of the creepos.
Oh,
So she really pushed.
is she a groupie? Dare I
I
say?
think so. I think she'd be okay with me saying that. Yeah. She encouraged us to actually play Pacella. So I think it's been really fun working with these passionate and welcoming people. Our president and CEO, Corey Keller, is wonderful. A lot of my immediate team is new within the last 2 years, including myself. So we've really, I think, just become mentors and friends and colleagues and empower each other to get through these events and, achieve our mission.
Yay, excellent. Well, we're
Yeah.
looking forward to seeing all of this take place and unfold and participate in with WHFR with our tent there. We're grateful for the opportunity to be a part of this event and do some call-ins and maybe some interviews and so on. Literally just to the left, if you're looking at the Marianne Wright Center, we're just going to be right there to the left. So please stop in and say hi to our WHFR team when you attend Pacella 2025. And we do not then need to formally register in advance, correct? We can sort of pay at the door, or do you
Oh,
prefer that
yeah.
advanced registration?
Yes, we absolutely accept walk-ins. So we've been doing pre-registration. We encourage it. We can kind of see who we're expecting by doing that, but no, you can just show up. You can show up. We're going to have enough swag that, if you want the shirt, you want the various tiers of swag, just show up on Saturday, anytime that we're here between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., Saturday and Sunday. And we'd absolutely love to have you just walk on up, come through.
Nice. It's the hottest ticket in town, no doubt about it.
Ooh.
Where should we park, and exactly, again, how do we find you?
Okay. Well, we're off Michigan, kind of like you said, in that civic center area behind the police station, the Performing and Community Arts Center, and the library. So our entrance, you can get to us because we will have the Reckinger will be closed. We're trying to kind of control the entry and exit. If you're coming from Greenfield, you can access Reckinger and park in either of the community or Performing Arts Center lots that are there off of, I believe, Hinkle and Reckinger if you were to enter from Greenfield. If you're on Michigan and say you're headed east, you could turn in front of the Performing Arts Center to gain access to their lots, or our main entrance will be on Continental right before the library there. If you're facing east and turn right, Continental will take you around the back of the library. There will be parking in the library lot. And if that one fills up, there are signs directing you to get back to the Performing and Community Arts Center lots to park there too.
Excellent.
So kind of just driving either
Yeah,
around the back of
cruise
the
around.
library, you're going to go down Kane in front of the police station to access the community and Performing Arts Center lots.
Love it. Wonderful. Well, we wish you continued success with the planning of this event. Again, right around the corner, so finishing touches are going into place, I'm sure.
Right.
And if you'd like to learn more about this and anything else related to Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit, it's that website, metrodetroitanimals.org, O-R-G. And we haven't even talked about the Bark Crawl, the sort of the first annual, I think. But we'll talk about that later. And we've got so much going on, but let's focus on Pacella.
Yeah.
Shout out to my Mackinaw, who is a rescue, and my new grand cat Freddie, who was a Dearborn Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit rescue, and that's how we do it. That's how you do it, and keep the love going, and we're looking forward to seeing you there, Pacella 2025. Nova, thank you for your time. I know how incredibly busy you are. We look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, all the best. Take care.
You as well. Bye.
Thank you. And we'll wrap up our show today with some information from the Dearborn Press and Guide. One item of note, if you feel that you have a home with a beautiful garden, or if you have a neighbor or a friend who has a home with a beautiful garden, well, Dearborn residents are invited to nominate homes with excellent seasonal flowers, also adornments, front yard displays, and such, this summer for the 2025 Residential Standard of Excellence Recognition Program. The City Beautiful Commission, which is going strong, is looking to select some outstanding properties for honoring in this 2025 RSOE program. They're asking residents to nominate front yards that are well-maintained and visually appealing, and volunteers will review homes across Dearborn through the middle of June to the middle of July, and they're going to choose up to three properties within each of the different districts. So that's up to like 27 properties from the different 17 districts for top honors. And there will be a congratulatory lawn sign announcing their selection, and properties will be sent a letter and a window decal to display in their home. So the City Beautiful Commission, what an opportunity to really showcase some of the best of the best in this Dearborn community. City Beautiful Awards Program honorees and every year, and they are going to be celebrated in an annual ceremony and reception hosted by Mayor Abdallah Hamoud in the wintertime. So some cool opportunities there to showcase the beautiful campaigns that are being promoted and hopefully being supported from our own Dearborn front yards. The commission also selects businesses, by the way, for outstanding curb appeal in the fall season. They work with Dearborn schools to promote things like recycling, anti-littering, environmental sustainability as well. So the Dearborn City Beautiful Commission doing some pretty fun things here in this community, and far-reaching certainly as well. Also want to talk a little bit about what's happening at the Dearborn Henry Ford Centennial Library. They are playing on this June the 9th. So again, right here, right around the corner, right on Monday, they're going to be showcasing the film Julie and Julia. And this is in the sort of the showcase of the Blockbuster Free Film Series at the Henry Ford Centennial Library. Again, Monday, June 9th, 6:30 p.m. It's a fun story, and it sort of contrasts the lives of course, world-famous chef Julia Child and Julie Powell, who is a New York aspiring chef who tries to cook all of Julia Child's 524 recipes in her cookbook called Master the Art of French Cooking. I remember growing up with that cookbook, actually. And her goal is to do that all in 365 days. And she posts about it on her blog, and it's a super fun film. Written and directed by three-time Oscar nominee Nora Ephron, who also did the famous When Harry Met Sally and some other incredible works. It is an opportunity to enjoy a free film in the auditorium at the Henry Ford Centennial Library, again, located on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. It is Monday, June 9th at 6:30. And if you'd like more information on this or the Blockbuster Free Film Series in general, certainly go to the Henry Ford Centennial Library website or contact them at 313-943-2330. That's 313-943-2330. And then finally, we want to talk a little bit about something going on downriver. It is in the Taylor area, and it's coming up June 13th at the American Legion Post 200 on Michael Street in Taylor. It is called Dead Legends Remembering the Greats with Painted Friends. This is the Marine Corps Downriver Detachment 153 hosting this benefit concert for Veterans Haven. Veterans Haven is an organization that helps homeless veterans. It will take place again June 13th, 6:30 p.m. Popular songs for the Doors, Led Zeppelin, Rush, Queen, David Bowie, The Beatles, and more. So this is that hard rock stuff, and all proceeds, again, benefit this wonderful organization, helping homeless veterans. Commandant Greg Mayring, who is involved with the Marine Corps and the American Legion, you know, they are absorbing costs of the event, so 100% of the proceeds will be going towards this charity. Event is, again, at the American Legion. Tickets are $10 online in advance, $15 at the door. And if you'd like some more information, simply check out the American Legion Post 200 on Michael Street in Taylor, Michigan. Veterans Haven is the organization that is being showcased and funds will be raised for. So as you can tell by this very packed WHFR Journal, there's so much going on. And again, one of our sort of staples in this summer season is to have a sort of speak about and reach out to other aspects of humanity. It's a challenge. Yep, it's a quest to try to do something different, try something unique, and it benefits someone else in the process. So that's sort of our summer motto for WHFR, at least on this journal show. And we're going to continue to share information and insight on ways you can get involved. And if you have an organization, a nonprofit, a community group here in Dearborn or Metro Detroit that you would like to have a special focus on, let us know. Reach out. Again, Susan McGraw as host. Feel free to reach out to me directly at scmcgraw@hfcc.edu, scmcgraw@hfcc.edu, or you can certainly give me a call, 313-845-9842, 313-845-9842. Special thanks to all of our guests on today's edition of the WHFR Journal. It's good to be back, by the way, and talking directly with some people about these wonderful and important happenings in our own community. Many thanks. Kicking off today's show, Kelly Vandenbosch, Executive Director of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. Also from the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan, Developmental Director Alex Newton. And finally, Nova Zorak from Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit. Do stay with us. We've got great things on the way. This summer season is just getting started, and we hope that you will enjoy not only the talk information, but most especially the music that we showcase and feature, including our beautiful classical music, our classical program that we are so proud to share with you. We will also be doing some more introspective discussions as we move forward here at Henry Ford College itself. Thanks, as always, to our incredible Board of Trustees for entrusting us with this broadcast opportunity. And we're so grateful to be able to talk about the amazing things happening here at Henry Ford College. Russ Cavalluna, our outgoing president, over to Western Michigan University, where he will do them proud, we know. And our interim president, Dr. Lori Gonko, we will share more insight on when that transition takes place and what's happening, as well as a special thank you and congratulations to, really, I think, one of the people that has been just so very instrumental in making sure that Henry Ford College does what it needs to stay on track, Vice President and Director of Financial Services, John Satkowski. John is retiring. As a matter of fact, I think today is his last day here at Henry Ford after about 15 years of incredible service. We will invite the new Director of Financial Services to come on board sometime soon to learn a little bit about his approach to continued success here at HFC. We wish you a great weekend. Do stay with us. More to come on this WHFR Dearborn, where we are making waves.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported non-commercial radio featuring local and independent artists.